Including this morning, we have three worship gatherings before Christmas that we get to come together and open God's Word. And we're going to, in our time together, we're going to look at some of the details surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. This morning, this first time together, we're going to be looking at a name that is very much connected to Christmas. And then next Sunday, we're going to be looking at a place that is associated with Christmas. And then finally, Christmas Eve, at our Christmas Eve service, we're going to be looking at one of the great purposes for Christmas. And if you are a visitor, if you're looking for a church, we welcome you and we ask that you join us for these worship gatherings as we prepare for Christmas together. Our passage this morning is from Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 23. So if you have a Bible, I welcome you to open it up now. And if you don't, there should be Bibles below the seats in front of you. And you're welcome to turn to page 523 in the Pew Bible. Now before we read God's Word, I'm going to pray for His help. Almighty God, Maker and sustainer of life, You have once again blessed us who are here with another Christmas season. Please help us to not take it for granted, to enjoy all the blessings of another Christmas season, all of the wonderful time that we hopefully get to spend with some family, and all the great food that we'll eat and the presents that will be exchanged. But Father, ultimately, help us to see Christ and enjoy Christ and look to Christ this Christmas. We thank You so much that You are a God who hears our prayers because of Christ and His great work on our behalf. We pray, Father, that You would, in our time in Your Word, give us direction and hope and encouragement and correction where it is needed. For Your glory and because of our great need, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord. Now, many of us are named after family members. You know, maybe we've been given our name because our parents wanted to honor somebody, a celebrity or somebody that they looked up to or they wanted us to be like. Others of us were just simply named, given our name because our parents thought it sounded nice. You know, it was a pleasant, handsome, strong, or beautiful name. We might say it was a trendy name. That's kind of the word that we use to describe a name like that. Or maybe they just named us because they ran out of names and it was just the best name that seemed to fit us. For instance, my name is Luke. And I happened to be born the same year that the third Star Wars movie was released. And my mom does assure me that I was not named after Luke Skywalker. Rather, it was the author of the Gospel of Luke. And I'm thankful for that. But when it comes to names being given to people in Scripture, it's a general rule that they mean something. And not just something, but something about God. They teach us something about His purpose or His plan for the person that is being given that name. Now, that's a general rule in Scripture. But when it comes to the names and titles that are ascribed to Jesus Christ, it is the rule. Every single name or title that we find within the pages of God's holy Scriptures reveals something about Jesus and this wonderful child that was born that first Christmas. It teaches us something. They all teach us something. So in verse 21, we find one of those names and titles, and that is Jesus. And this is one of those names that is used throughout the Scripture. It's probably the most frequently used name or title for this child that was born, and we find it in Matthew 1, verse 21. And there are other names or titles that are used very sparingly, almost once or twice. And one of those names is, in fact, found in verse 23 of our text this morning, and that is the name Emmanuel. Verse 23. This makes Emmanuel something like a Christmas name. It is a Christmas title given to Christ. And it is this name, Emmanuel, that we will focus our attention on this morning. First of all, what does the name mean? Well, Matthew wonderfully gives us a definition for this name in the text itself. Emmanuel means God came to be with us, God with us. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this was originally a prophecy that had been given through the prophet Isaiah, and I want to read that passage from Isaiah chapter 7 to you. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. As we read Matthew 1:23, we are told that this prophecy about a virgin conceiving and bearing a son who shall be called Emmanuel has ultimately been fulfilled in this birth of this child who we know as Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this one name and these three words, God with us, there is great joy to be found. Great joy to be found in this one simple name, Emmanuel, God with us. There are treasures, brothers, sisters, friends, visitors, in this one name that far surpass any treasure that you could ever find on this earth. And I pray and I hope that you will, as we open God's word and I preach this morning, be shown these wonderful, glorious treasures that are in the name Emmanuel. See, it's quite common for us to have this sense that God is a distant deity, if he even exists at all, that he's far away, that he maybe is a creator who is not very concerned with us humans, especially not with our day-to-day lives. You going to work, you drinking your coffee, you deciding to make a career change. Oftentimes you think that God doesn't care, he's not involved, he's not a personal God. And even we professing Christians who say, yes, you know, we use phrases like, I have a personal relationship with God through Christ. We can even be guilty of thinking about God as this distant deity, fall into this wrong mindset. However, every Christmas and every time the name Emmanuel is heard and shared, we are taught that the God of the Bible is not a distant deity. He is not some uninvolved, uninterested, impersonal big guy in the sky way far away from his people. Now, to be sure, as we heard wonderfully from Rachel as she gave us this spoken word about Christ and his birth and who he is the sovereign, mighty God who reigns and rules over all. He is transcendent above everything and everyone. He is not dependent on creation. And yet, in this name, Emmanuel, we are reminded and taught from the pages of Scripture that he is at the same time immanent, meaning he is involved and he is personal and he interacts with his creation and ultimately with the crown of his creation, humanity, who he made in his image. Christ is not some angel like Michael or Gabriel. He is not just a messenger or a representative for God. In Jesus Christ, God has not just spoken to us from a distance. He's not done some spiritual FaceTime with us. You know, you miss your relative and now you can call them up or whatever. I mean, I should know the right term for this, but you dial them up or you FaceTime or whatever you call it, and you can see their face and it's like, oh, they're there, but they're not really there. And you can see, you know, their interactions and their smiles, and it's wonderful. It's better than a phone call. And yet in Christ, in Christmas, in Emmanuel, in God with us, God is not just FaceTime. He has come to us as one of us. Now see, Emmanuel is a name that is very much connected to an essential doctrine of the Christian faith, and that is the incarnation, that the eternal Son of God, who always was God, did not become God, but was always God, added to himself humanity. He added to his divinity a human nature. This is beautiful. Paul writes in Philippians 2 about this, that when Christ was born, he who was God became a man, and that in Jesus Christ, God took human form. Wrap your mind around that. God took human form. In the first chapter of John's gospel, the apostle writes that the Word, which is another title, it's another name given to Christ in the pages of Scripture, that this Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that this Word is the same one whom all of creation was created through. That's who this Word, who Christ is. And then in verse 14, we have this amazing verse that speaks of the reality of Emmanuel. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we find that in Jesus, who was and is God, a God who came and was carried in a womb, who was held in a mother's arms, who lived and suffered like we do and did like we will experience physical death. This is the God that we see in Christmas. In regards to his humanity, he was just like us, truly human. This amazing union of two natures, that of God and man in one person, is what makes Christmas so incredibly amazing. It is why we Christians cannot stop talking and celebrating and singing and getting excited about Christmas. Because man and God in one person is what Christmas is about. It's not some irrelevant truth. You know, I love to learn. I love facts. I love history. You know, how deep is the sea? How God created gravity, how it works, and how everything functions, and how the environment works so wonderfully, and all the space things that are out there, and the planets, and all. Oh, it's just so amazing. But ultimately, so much of that has so little to do with my life. I'm not going down to the bottom of the sea. I'm feeling the weight of gravity. It's something that I just don't need to think about. You know, I'm not going to be, you know, sent out into space. But this truth about Emmanuel, about the incarnation, has everything to do with redemption, with atonement, with salvation, with heaven, with your eternity. It's a big deal. See, if God had not come to us as one of us, if it were not for the incarnation, there'd be no way for us to be with God. That's what this gospel that we believe proclaims. You can't be good enough. You can't be. No amount of good works, no amount of money can buy you into heaven. He owns it all. It's all his. He made it. He's the rightful owner. So you can't buy your ticket into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You needed, and I needed, God to come to us. And not just kind of, but totally to come to us. The Bible says that we are all born sinners and that we choose to sin. And in so doing, we have rejected and ignored the God who created us for his glory. You were made for a purpose, not for your own purpose. I mean, if you were created ultimately for your own purpose, when you die, your purpose dies. It ends. There's no meaning for your life. And the Bible teaches us that we were created for a purpose, to know the God who made us, to be amazed by who he is, to worship him, to treasure him, to enjoy him, not just to follow rules, but to live the way he designed us to live, with joy and treasuring him and worshiping him. And yet sin has created this great divide between us and God. It's a spiritual chasm that is greater than the Grand Canyon. And it's higher than the tallest skyscraper. And it's one that we can't climb and we cannot cross without the cross of Christ. We needed him to come. And so at the same time, the one who is called Emmanuel is also given this name Jesus. And Matthew defines that name for us as well in Matthew 1:21. It is a name that is attributed to the one who can save his people from his sins, from their sins. A name that can save sinners from their sins. See, we didn't just need God to come to us and be one of us. We didn't just need some heavenly visit from a divine friend. We needed God to die for us, to take on our sin, our pride, our greed, our hatred, our idolatry, our making gods out of people and stuff, making life about us and not about God, our immorality and our adultery in all of its forms, our false worship. We needed God to save us from all of these things. And the Bible tells us not just from those things, to be released from the grips of whatever we're addicted to that is sinful, but we needed God to come and save us from the consequence of our sin. Romans 6:23 says the consequence is death, and not just physical death, but eternal death, separation from God, from hell. We needed God to save us from all this. We needed God to send a Savior, one who was truly human, because only a human can pay for human sin. So we needed him to take on flesh and to bear the wrath that we deserved, to fully be our substitute, to take on the wrath of God, our sin, which he did at the cross. And yet we also needed a Savior who is truly God, not just truly man, but also truly God, so that his obedience and his suffering would be perfect and effective, able to bear the full righteous wrath of God against our sin. And we needed a Savior who could conquer death. See, at the cross and then in the resurrection, that glorious truth that we celebrate every Easter morning, we're reminded that Jesus didn't just take care of sin, but he took care of death. And every single one who repents and trusts in Jesus is going to end up just like him. That's the promise of the gospel. That's what the Bible leads us to. It's not just you get to go float around in heaven with harps and listen to children sing all the time. That's not what heaven is. The new heavens and the new earth are this promise that one day we will be bodily resurrected like Jesus was. He is the first fruits. He is the picture of what is to come for all who look and trust in him. So at Christmas, Emmanuel came. He is the Savior and Lord who was truly God and became truly human. He is the God-man sent from heaven to glorify God by saving people like you and me from our sins. This means that every single Christmas, Emmanuel is an invitation. It's an invitation, brothers, sisters, friends, visitors. God has allowed you once again. I don't know however old you are, maybe you're 30, 50, 60, 70, you're coming up on the end. God has graciously allowed you to experience one more Christmas invitation. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us, he came to be with us. There's an open invitation for you this Christmas to be reconciled to God. It's not some business thing. I'm not making a deal here. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Emmanuel, God came to be with you and with me. In Emmanuel, we have been told that God has come to us, that God has made a way in Christ for us to be with him. If you're not a Christian, then I pray that you would see Jesus for who he is and you would worship him, that you would set aside all the lesser treasures. We waste so much time and energy spending our lives wanting to make much of ourselves when God invites us to enjoy him, the maker and the saver of sinners. I'm praying and hoping that at all the Christmas services, I know many of you are going to many Christmas services this year. You got lots of grandkids, you got lots of nephews, nieces. You're going to be sitting through all these cute little shows and little skits. I'm praying that God would use these Christmas services and the children's songs and the skits and even the Charlie Brown Christmas special. All the lights that you're going to drive on your way home as you pass all these decorations and the tree maybe that's sitting in your house and all the traditions and all the time that you're going to spend at parties with your family, that it would all scream out to you, Emmanuel, God came to be with you and with me. It's an open invitation, and this is how you respond. It's not, you know, you get that letter in the mail to a wedding, it invites you to a party or something, and you fill out the little form, and you send it back in the mail, and if they're really nice, and maybe if they got some extra money, they give you the stamp, it's included. Now you can even do it online. You just email a response, right? I'm coming, I'll be there. Well, the way that you respond to this invitation is by seeing Jesus for who he is. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Recognizing your sin and saying, and he's my Savior. His death paid for my sin. And his resurrection is my resurrection, and I trust in him. It's really simple. God made it so simple. So wonderfully simple and beautiful. His death was in your place. What he accomplished was enough to get you out of the grips of hell and sin and to bring you back ultimately to where you belong. To be with God. I want to touch on one last thing. Emmanuel provides continual encouragement. There's this one last aspect of Emmanuel that I hope you see this morning, especially if you're a Christian. Emmanuel is a name that provides for us continual encouragement for all who trust in Christ. See, the scriptures tell us that God not only came to us, but that he's still with us. It wasn't just like he came in and was like, you know what, this is cool. You guys got some nice things going here, but I'm sick of it. I'm heading out. I'm going to be in heaven. Figure this out, and then when you die, we'll work it out. We'll see if you make it into heaven. That's not how the story goes. That's not what Jesus says in his earthly ministry. See, Matthew 1 starts with this name, this Emmanuel name that he tells us means God with us. And then at the very end of Matthew's gospel, in what is called the Great Commission, where Jesus tells his disciples and ultimately his church to make disciples. See, if you're not a Christian and you have Christian family, we can't not tell you about Jesus. Maybe you're sick of it. Maybe you're like, man, you got it. And we're trying to think of ways that we can point you to Christ and share the gospel with you, and you've heard it all, and we're praying for you, and we've given you books. We have to. We know Christ. How bad of a relative or a friend would we be if we know the way to be reconciled to God? We don't tell you. That would be the most unloving thing that we could ever do. And so we have to keep on telling about Jesus. And it's right there in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples. Teach them about Jesus. Everything that Jesus said we're supposed to share and we're supposed to learn and grow and obey. And then at the very end of that great commission are these words. Emmanuel. They're about Emmanuel. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In the very commissioning of his disciples and ultimately the church to make disciples, to preach the gospel, Jesus says, I'm not leaving you. I'm with you. I came to be with you. I was even with you to a degree before I came, and now I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. The great promise given to us through the gospel is that God promises to be with us now and forever. He will not leave us in our suffering. He will not. He will not leave us in our tiredness or in our struggle to follow Christ and battle against our sin. When we fail and when we succeed, when we are overwhelmed and we desire to give up this whole Christian thing, he says, I will not leave you. Emmanuel is a promise that comes so fully and wonderfully at Christmas, but then it is truly never ending once you come to know Christ. He will not leave you. No matter what stage of life, struggle, or blessing, God has promised to always be with those who trust in Christ. You know, the greatest promise and joy and gift of heaven is not being with grandpa or grandma or cousins or nephews or even your own children. That's a byproduct. That's a blessing. That's a fruit. I love it. I'm so excited to see all my relatives and all my friends, brothers and sisters that I have labored for that have called me to look to Jesus. I'm so excited for that. But you know what the greatest joy and gift of heaven is? Emmanuel. We're going to be face to face forever in all of eternity with God. Emmanuel is the promise and the gift of the gospel. That's where the gospel ends. You get saved, you get freed from sin and worshiping and doing stupid stuff that is hurting you so that you can be with God and enjoy him for all of eternity. Emmanuel. The implications and wonders of Emmanuel, God with us, they cannot be exaggerated or overstated. We've had just a few minutes to look at Emmanuel. Charles Spurgeon wrote that in the name Emmanuel is eternity's sonnet, heaven's hallelujah, the shout of the glorified, the song of the redeemed, the chorus of angels, the everlasting oratorio of the great orchestra in the sky. Beautiful. Emmanuel, God with us, summarizes the good news of the gospel. Brothers, sisters, friends, visitors, God has come to us. So Christmas is invitation. Don't let your sin, your pride, whatever thing you got going on, prevent you from enjoying Christ this Christmas. It's an open invitation to all sinners. Come and trust in him. This Christmas, may you hear, see, and trust in Emmanuel. That is Jesus Christ, who is God with us. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for this wonderful good news that you are not a distant deity far off in some other place, but you are a creator who is loving and gracious and just and merciful. You have given so many of us so many years where we saw Christmas as something lesser than it truly is. It is an arrow for us that is blinking and screaming out, Emmanuel. And we rejoice, Father, in this truth that we now get to savor. Father, I pray for those who are caught in darkness. I pray for those who are struggling physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Father, give them what they need, clarity and understanding, relief and strength and peace and joy. And may it all be found and given to them in Christ. We are a needy people. We need you, Father. We need your Spirit to work to show us more of Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us this Christmas and that you would be blessed as your people rejoice and out of them springs forth great worship and praise to Christ, who is our Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.